Good day and welcome to the National Employment Network Payments Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Kimberly Cutler, EM Payments Department Manager. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Welcome and thank you for attending the All EM Payments Call today, Tuesday, April 24th, 2018. I am Kimberly Cutler, EM Payments Manager and host of today's call. Joining me in our McLean office is Ms. Deborah Tennessee, Ticket Program Manager, and we have several members on the line on behalf of the Social Security Administration. Thank you all so much for joining today's call. The purpose of today's presentation is to provide insight into the payment process on the following agenda topics. We will cover announcements, reconciliation payments, submitting payment requests, submitting manual payment requests, erroneous unassignments or ticket terminations, 18-month look-back tool, most common payment denials, ticket program available resources, and at the end we will have open up for question and answer form. We're going to start on slide 3 with our announcement. Ticket Portal Secure Training Site is no longer available. Now, this does not have an impact on the ticket portal. To request a copy of the ticket portal user guide or for questions about the ticket portal, you can make sure that you contact the provider support helpline, and you see we have the email address listed there, which is ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And please note that the help desk operating hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Second announcement, Central Contract Registration, or your CCR, System for Award Management registration, must be renewed and validated at least every 12 months. So you want to make sure that you're going in and renewing that every 12 months, because an expired CCR registration could cause a hold on your payments and assigning of tickets. So please make sure that you are making sure that you renew that at least every 12 months. Also want to note that TPM will start processing the ePay file this week. And there will be an announcement placed in the ticket portal once we actually start processing the ePay file. Next agenda item we will focus on would be reconciliation payments. Ticket holders move into outcome payment phase when they continue to work and have monthly earnings at or above substantial gainful activity level and are no longer receiving federal cash benefits. If a ticket holder moves into the outcome payment phase before an EN receives all available milestone payments, Social Security Administration processes a reconciliation payment. Social Security processes a reconciliation payment after the ticket program manager processes the 12th outcome payment. The one-time lump sum payment will be equal to any unpaid available milestone payment that would otherwise have been available to the EN with the ticket assignment. And please note, ENs do not have to submit for a reconciliation payment. It is an automatic payment once the TPM processes the 12th outcome and there are available milestone payments. That payment will be automatically paid. Also, any unavailable Phase 1 milestone payments due to look-back earnings and VR successful closures are not included in the lump sum reconciliation payment. So please just remember that if for some reason you had your Phase 1 milestones, one or all of them were excluded due to the 18-month look-back or because there was a successful closure from the VR, then, of course, those payments are unavailable, so they will not be picked up in the reconciliation payment. On slide 5, what we're going to provide is a scenario of when a reconciliation payment will be paid. In this case, the ticket holder is receiving Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI, benefits. And what we have here, this is, again, for an SSI ticket holder, so they are eligible for up to 11 months of Phase 2 milestones. So we start out with the ticket status and receiving federal cash benefits. The payments received phase one milestones 1 through 4 and phase two milestones 1 through 5. Now the ticket status changes. So the beneficiary is no longer receiving federal cash benefits due to work and earnings, but continues to work and have monthly earnings at or above SGA or SGA blind. So with that happening, the ticket holder moves into the outcome payment phase. So under this, the EN receives outcomes 1 through 12. At that point, a reconciliation payment is triggered. So Social Security processes a reconciliation payment equal to the amount of the 6 unpaid phase 2 milestones. And remembering, you only receive, the EN receives phase 2 milestones 1 through 5. The potential amount of phase 2 milestones will be up to 11. So the reconciliation payments will be paid for phase 2 milestones 6 through 11, the remaining available milestones. And you can view the payments at a glance, which is located on the Ticket to Work website. And it's yourtickettowork.ssa.gov to see how many phase 2 milestones are available for SSDI and SSI ticket holders. So that's just a good resource so that if you do miss some of your phase 1 or phase 2 milestones because the beneficiary went into the outcome phase, you can check on the payments at a glance to see what may be owed to you in a reconciliation payment. Our next agenda item focuses on submitting payment requests. To reduce Employment Network's administrative burden of creating and submitting payment requests to the Ticket Program Manager, Social Security implemented an automated payment process called ePay. The intent of the ePay process is to provide ENs a means to obtain payments when unable to obtain earnings evidence once Social Security eliminated the certification payment process, and this process included self-employment claims. This automated payment process does not replace the process of EN submitting payment requests via the ticket portal. Just remember that if you're submitting payment requests via the ticket portal, submitting payment requests via the ticket portal, if ENs have primary evidence, should be the first option for submitting payment requests to TPM. Also note that due to Social Security rules, some potential claims will not be eligible for payment under the ePay process. So, of course, if you have evidence of earnings and you do have access through the ticket portal, you want to go ahead and submit payment requests with your primary evidence of earnings. Next slide, on slide 7, submitting manual payment requests. Effective September the 4th, 2017, all payment requests must be submitted through the ticket portal. There are some instances when an EN may not be able to submit a request through the ticket portal, such as claims that have previously been denied due to missing documentation or an inadequate certification of services. You're not able to resubmit that claim through the portal once it has been denied. Also, there are some cases when phase one milestones or the ticket portal will not allow you to submit for phase one milestones due to the system pulling information from unverified earnings. Now, in these instances, an EN will have to submit a payment request manually, but key things to remember that when submitting a payment request manually, ENs must complete Form 1391, which is the EN payment request form, and I've provided the site where you can go locate this form. So you have to submit the EN payment request form and provide evidence of earnings when you are submitting submitting payments manually. Okay. On slide 8, we focus on the next agenda topic, which is erroneous unassignment or ticket termination. If you believe that a ticket was erroneously terminated or unassigned from your EN, please contact the Program Integrity Team to research the issue. And you want to contact them at programintegrity@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And please remember that you should securely submit the ticket information and any supporting documentation, such as an IWP, to the inbox to confirm if the unassignment or termination was due to a systems error. The ticket information and any submitted documents should be encrypted using your EN's Ticket to Work PIN, and the format for that is TTWE, and then you will enter the last four digits of your award number. And again, please just note that anytime you're sending in personal identifiable information, your email should be encrypted. That includes any attachments. You want to make sure that those attachments are password protected or encrypted, again, using your TTWE plus the last four digits of your award. Okay, moving on to slide 9. We're going to move into the use of the 18-month look-back tool to determine available Phase 1 milestones. There are two factors that can result in an EN being excluded from receiving Phase 1 milestone payments, even when a beneficiary achieves qualifying earnings. Those two exclusions are prior VR service rule and the 18-month look-back rule. On this call, we're going to focus on the 18-month look-back rule. If a beneficiary had trial work level earnings during some or all of the 18 months prior to the first ticket assignment and after the DDO, some or all of the Phase 1 milestones may be excluded from payment. The earnings criteria used for payment of Phase 1 milestones are reversed to determine eligibility for payment based on the 18-month look-back rule. If the DDO is within the 18 months prior to ticket assignment, then the look-back for trial work level earnings ends at the DDO date. And we will cover what DDO means. Well, it's the date of disability onset, so we'll go into a little bit of information about how that applies. Okay. And now we're going to move on to slide 11. We're going to speak more about the 18-month look-back to exclusion. The 18-month look-back rule applies to all Phase 1 milestone payments for tickets assigned on July 21st, 2008 or later. If a beneficiary had trial work level earnings from work between the date of disability onset and the first ticket assignment, some or all of the Phase 1 milestones may be excluded from payment. If earnings exist the month immediately preceding the ticket assignment date, then Phase 1 milestone 1 is not payable. If earnings exist for 3 months within a six-month period preceding the ticket assignment date and after the DDO date or the DDO, Phase 1 Milestone 2 is not payable. Okay. If earnings exist for 6 months within a 12-month period preceding the ticket assignment date and after the DDO, Phase 1 Milestone 3 is not payable. If earnings exist for 9 months within an 18-month period preceding the ticket assignment date and after the DDO, Phase 1 Milestone 4 is not payable. And this is what we mean when we say it's reversed, because we're looking prior to the ticket to exclude payment, and we're looking after ticket assignment to see for available payment. Now we're going to move to slide 12. I mentioned earlier that I would go into what it means or how you can obtain the disability onset date. The date of disability onset is the date at which an individual became unable to work as a result of a disabling medical condition. Social Security determines the DDO. A new DDO may be established after a beneficiary is reinstated under an expedited reinstatement, or EXR, approved by SSA, or when Social Security approves a new disability application. If a beneficiary is reinstated under expedited reinstatement, a new period of disability with a new DDO is established, and a new IWP is required to have the ticket assigned. So if you're an EN and you previously have the ticket, if there's a new DDO established, you would have to resubmit or you would have to complete a new IWP and send that in order to have the ticket assigned. And please note that no payments are permitted on the old ticket. So once a new DDO is established, then the old, what we call the old ticket, there will be no available payments. You would start from the new DDO date and when the ticket has been assigned to your agency. ENs can obtain a benefits plan inquiry by submitting two consent for release of information forms. And here we have provided where you can locate the forms. And please know that both forms must be appropriately signed by the beneficiary. An electronic signature of the beneficiary is not acceptable. Kind of stumbled over that, so I'll repeat that. An electronic signature of the beneficiary is not acceptable. Moving to slide 13, the 18-month look-back tool allows ENs or TPM EN payment staff to enter a ticket assignment date, and you'll see that in the far right column where you can enter the date. The example we have here as March 2018. And I just want to note that it is important that you follow the format that's here with your two-digit month and four-digit year, because if you try to a different format, it will not populate correctly. So you want to make sure you follow that format. But once you enter the ticket assignment date, the tool then populates the 18 months prior to the ticket assignment date by the month and the year, as you can see on the slide. TPM staff or EN representative will enter an X under each month that the beneficiary earnings were at or above trial work level. Next slide, slide 14. If a phase one milestone payment is not available, the color of the milestone will turn from green to red, and a no will populate in the chart below, and you can see down in the far left that it changed from the color changed, and it also changed in the column to say no. So those two go hand in hand. The 18-month look-back tool has the functionality to enter the DDO and make the calculations. With this feature, the 18-month period between the DDO and the ticket assignment date is calculated correctly. And on the chart, on the 18-month look-back tool, we've also provided the trial work level amounts by year, and that will help you as you start to look into your 18 months prior to ticket assignment. You'll know based on the chart and based on the year what amount you are looking for. And slide 15, what we are providing is a scenario using the 18-month look-back tool. So what we have here is the ticket assignment date is March 2018. DDO is June 2017. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to put in our ticket assignment date of March 2018 using that format as they have here. The DDO, again, is June 2017. Earnings exist above trial work level for September 2016 through February 2018. Now, what will happen is the user will need to enter an X under each month that trial work level earnings exist. And so on the slide, that's exactly what we did. We put an X into each month that had earnings above trial work level. Now, all phase one milestones would have been denied based on trial work level earnings. But phase one milestone four is still available because the look back of trial work level earnings ended at the DDO date, or the DDO, which is June 2017. So as you can see, we continue to put X's for each month. You see how your color changed from green to red, which indicates that phase one milestones one, two, and three are not available. And even though we went past with putting our X's in, we went past June 2017, but because June 2017 was the actual DDO, that's where your look back stops. So that tells us that this particular beneficiary, you would be eligible for a phase one milestone four payment, and that's why it's so important to not only enter the ticket assignment date, but if you have the DDO, you want to also put that information in. Okay. Slide 16 gives us another payment scenario using the 18-month lookback to determine available phase one milestone payments based on ticket assignment date and the date of disability onset. So here we are. We have ticket assignment date is January 2017. DDO is February 2015. Earnings exist above trial work level for September 2015, October and December 2015, February 2016 through April 2016. And then we have July, September, and December of 2016 also with earnings above trial work level. So again, what we're going to do is we're going to enter an X under each month that trial work level earnings exist. Now, as we can see in this slide, none of the phase one milestones are available because all the months with trial work level earnings are prior to the ticket assignment date and after the DDO. So looking at the example or the scenario that we provided here, as each phase one milestone turned red, also in the bottom left-hand corner, you see that it says milestone eligible, no. And again, this is because the DDO was February 2015. So as we did our look back and as we entered the X's in the appropriate month that had trial work level earnings, it was all before the DDO. So again, just want to kind of emphasize why it's important to, if you have the DDO, making sure that you are listing that information on the look-back tool along with the ticket assignment date. Okay. And one of the things I wanted to note before we moved on, we're still on slide 16, is as you complete your 18-month look-back, and that's exactly what you should do as you get information, earnings information from your ticket holders, but also note that when you submit for payments for your phase one milestones 1 through 4, TPM will also populate an 18-month look back. So we want to just make sure that you are aware you may your information that you've obtained from your beneficiary or other sources may show that you are not eligible for a phase one milestone 4. TPM will conduct, they will complete an 18-month look back as well based on earnings information in SSA's database and any supporting information that you may send in. And if it is determined that you are eligible for one or all of the phase one milestones, then we will process those payments accordingly. Now we're going to move on to slide 17, where we're going to focus on the agenda topic of the most common payment denials. When TPM denies a payment request or claim, staff assigns a payment denial reason in ITOPS for each claim. Each denial appears in the ticket portal under the list payments already made to me screen when EN select the option include denials using the reference number or work case number associated with that particular payment request claim. So you have to log into the portal. You're going to go into list payments already made to me screen, but you also have to select the option to include denials. As part of the process for preparing and submitting payment requests, EN staff should research the following items before submitting a payment request. Taking these steps or researching this information may eliminate some of the denials that your EN may be receiving. So some things that you should research would be ticket assignment, the first available claim month, if the beneficiary had prior VR services. You want to make sure that you use the 18-month look-back tool because, remember, those are the two rules or exclusions for one or all of your phase one milestones. And you want to make sure that the earnings documentation that you're submitting, one, it has the level of earnings that you need, and also that we can read the information and that you're sending in all of the information for whatever claim month you are submitting for. So these are just a few things that you should research before submitting a payment request. Moving on to slide 18, we want to talk about tips for avoiding the most common payment denials. On the next couple of slides, that's what we will cover, is how to the two most common payment denials process for the first quarter of 2018, and we're going to provide tips to help avoid them. In some situations, a beneficiary could have earnings above the substantial gainful activity level, and the EA could have received all Phase 2 milestones, but the beneficiary is still receiving a monthly disability benefit as a result of his or her use of Social Security work incentives. Work incentives are special rules that allow a beneficiary to reduce his or her countable income based on such things as work-related expenses, putting money away to fund a plan to achieve self-support, etc. The beneficiary may also remain in current pay status until Social Security performs work continuing disability reviews. Slide 19. During the intake process, EAs should discuss each beneficiary's work and earnings history during the prior 18 months. While details on earnings during the 18-month period or during this 18-month period are not required, EAs are required to explore a beneficiary's earnings during the 18 months immediately prior to ticket assignment as part of the process for developing the individual work plan. Once the requesting EN has an indication of the beneficiary's earnings during the 18 months prior to seeking services from an EN, use the handy automated tool that TPM created to assess the potential availability of the Phase 1 milestones based on the 18-month look-back tool exclusion, which is what we just covered a few slides ago. So, again, you want to make sure that you're exploring the beneficiary earnings, you know, prior to the ticket assignment, and as you start to get information about the earnings, then that's when you want to use your 18-month look-back tool, remembering that you want to put in your ticket assignment date. If you have a DDO, you want to enter that information, and you want to just make sure you're putting an X under each month that indicates the beneficiary had earnings at or above trial work level. Okay. Now, moving on to slide 20, we will finish this discussion with a review of what resources are available to you if you have further questions or need additional details about anything we've presented today. The ticket portal automates many operational functions you do throughout the day. In addition to submitting payment requests, viewing payments made to you, and checking the status of submitted payments, other automated features that the ticket portal offers include checking for ticket assignability, assigning or unassigning tickets, and uploading forms or documents. TPM provides website resources for service providers. EANs can visit the Information Center section on the website to obtain additional information, resource documents, forms, and training materials on a wide variety of topics. The Information Center also provides a calendar of events, which includes national conference calls that service providers can attend. The Events Archive section within the Information Center includes PowerPoint presentations from past national calls. And I have provided here where you can visit the Ticket to Work website, yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Slide 22. The preferred method of tracking the status of submitted payment requests is to use the ticket portal and take advantage of the real-time updates. However, if an EN is unable to use the ticket portal for any reason, the EN also has the option to send manual payment status inquiries to the EN Payments Help Desk, and the address is there for you, EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, or you can call the toll-free number displayed on the screen. Email inquiries must be password protected or encrypted with the EN's personal identification number, which is your PIN, which we spoke of a couple of slides back, that is on file with TPM. Inquiries must include the EN's DUNS number, beneficiary's Social Security number, and the claim month or month. And please allow at least 5 business days for a response. EINs can also obtain clarification on payment-related issues or explanations of how EIN payment staffs apply ticket policy or procedures to make payment and payment denial assessments. They also can answer EIN payment inquiries received through the payment help desk phone line, submit requests to the EIN payment staff for payment reconsideration, or for payment supervisor's review of a payment issue. The help desk also outreach to EINs to obtain payment-related documentation when EIN payment staff report missing or incomplete information from payment requests EINs submit. Slide 24. The Ticket Operation Helpline is available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Both the EIN Payments Help Desk and the System Support Desk are accessible by choosing option 1 and 2, respectively. The EIN Payments Help Desk is available to answer all your questions regarding payments policy or status under the ticket program, while the System Support Desk has representatives available to assist you with any technical issues you encounter while using the ticket portal. And on this slide, we actually have the contact information for each help desk. Now we'll open the lines to receive your comments and answer any questions you may have. So, Gina, if you would, well, I'll check with Ms. Tennessee to see if we have any questions in the chat. Okay. Then what we'll do is we'll go ahead and open the line, please, Gina.
Excuse me. Yes, we have questions in the chat, but I'm still answering.
Okay.
So I
okay.
can't talk and write at the same
time. I understand. We'll come back to the chat. Uh-huh. So, Gina, if you don't mind, could you open the phone lines, please?
Of course. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And we'll take our first question from Les Robertson of MSC.
MCS.
Hello, how are you, Mr. Robertson?
Hi,
well,
how
fine.
Are you?
Fine.
I'm doing well.
Did I hear early in your training that this week the e-payments will start again?
Yes, sir. We will receive the e-pay file from Social Security, and we will start processing that sometime this week. And you'll actually be able to find out exactly what day we're going to start because there will be an announcement posted in the portal.
In the portal? Oh, okay, sometime this week I can look in the portal.
You can look for the announcement, yes.
Okay, That's fine. I just have a question. Why do we have those gaps like that?
Well, it actually takes time to prepare the files, so there's a whole back end of systems and it's a process of making sure that we get everything ready for the file. And again, we don't want to keep receiving a lot of duplicate information. That takes up time. So Social Security does a great job on the back end of polishing up, if you will, the file to make sure that when we're getting it, that the EINs that meet the qualification or meet the criteria to be on the file or on the file, and that once TPM receives it, that we're actually able to, you know, spend our time actually getting through the cases and not running into different issues.
Okay, that's fine. It's just I have to explain that to my director.
Okay,
so that's all I needed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll take our next question from Aaron Schmuley of Goodwill Industries.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
My question is, we have people that are in the system that we haven't gotten paid for 6, 7, or even 8 months. And if we were going to submit a 1391 manual, would we just get the last pay stub, or do we have to get all the prior pay stubs were the months that we didn't receive payments? Will there be like a look back to see that someone looking to see that it's a year-to-date amount on that last pay stub?
Well, this is Deborah Tennessee. We cannot look at one pay stub and make a determination unless that pay stub is for a month of earnings. You know, it's hard to answer your question not knowing what you're going to submit, but let me just say this. If you have at least a month of data, of earnings information, submit that. Then if there are earnings in SSA's databases anywhere, not only for that month but for any other month, we will make those payments. But you have to submit at least a month's worth of earnings data in order for us to even process the payment request.
I understand. The underlying issue is that we were experiencing where we're receiving payments, and then all of a sudden the payments stop. We're looking at, say, manual checks that the ticket holder is providing us. They're making substantial gainful activity, or they're above that amount, but yet we can go literally 6 or 7 or even 8 months not receiving any payments through the reconciliation process.
I'm not sure then where we are with this, but let me tell you what could have happened. It could be the situation. Payment requirements is just not earnings. It's also payment status. So if the beneficiary is at SGA status, and, for example, you've received some phase one milestones and possibly some or all, well, probably all of the phase twos, and the beneficiary is still at SGA level, then that means that there was no work CDR performed and the beneficiary is still in current pay and hasn't moved to the outcome period. Outcome period is where Social Security places the beneficiary in suspense or non-pay. And this is the one thing we were trying to emphasize in this call. If you have earnings, go to the local Social Security office and have those earnings reported. Or if you have earnings, even if it says sometimes you may even see already earnings already proven and the beneficiary is still sitting in a current pay status, hasn't been moved to non-pay or suspense, and you're waiting for that first outcome payment, if at all possible, send those pay stubs in, because Maximus will key and will start the process. And these are priority cases. Whenever there are situations where the beneficiary is in current pay, has exhausted all phase two milestones, then SGA, but you've been waiting and waiting for outcome payments and the situation is they're still in current pay. Send us those pay stubs. We'll start the process to key those earnings into a system, and the field office will initiate some type of work CDR, continuing disability review, that requires them to verify earnings. And once they do that process, they complete that process and all requirements are met, they will move that beneficiary into the outcome status faster. This is one reason why we are asking, you know, don't wait around for ePay, because you may have all those SSNs listed on ePay. We don't send out denials on ePay since you didn't request those payments. Therefore, we could see those SSNs listed on our ePay file, but we can't pay them if the beneficiary is still sitting in current pay and they have earnings at SGA. We need you to submit a payment request, and we need you to submit pay stubs. Now, you will receive a denial because the beneficiary is still in current pay, but by you submitting those pay stubs, that starts the process to get that beneficiary out of their current pay status into outcome, and it could be, I don't know, many, many months of outcome payments that you may be due once that beneficiary moves, because we do make proactive payments.
We're trying to reconcile and get a overall handle on that. That's very helpful. It helps me to piece together part of the puzzle.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we'll take our next question from Cassandra Jordan of Career Source.
Hi, Ms. Jordan.
You may need to check your mute function. Okay, we'll move on to Stephen Schneck of Paraquad.
Okay, hi. So, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Maximus notified us that there may be a potential split payment for one of our ticket holders, and they asked us to fill out the split payment form, which I understand, and then also the 1391, okay, or the, you know, the Employment Network Payment Request Form. The ticket holder themselves reported all their income to Social Security, so all their income they earned was reported, which I'm assuming is why they knew that we may have a potential payment. I'm assuming, like, the ePay found the earnings because the person reported them. But what I'm confused about is this. There is what's called an evidentiary payment request and a certification payment request. The letter from Maximus told us they wanted records of the services we provided. So I'm not clear for this form if it's supposed to be evidentiary or certification.
Okay. Let me say this. We no longer have certification requests. We stopped that a couple years ago.
Why is it on form 1391 then?
Is it certification of services?
No, what I was saying is from the website, Employment Network Payment Request Form, section mm-hmm. IV says payment request type.
For
evidentiary payment yeah. request or certification payment request.
That you probably, right. that form is old. That we no longer have a certification payment request. A certification
really?
Payment request, yeah.
Is there
it
another place
be,
the form is supposed to be at? That I'm not aware of, because this was the main site where all the trainings pointed me to.
No, the form is in a process of being updated. It has to go through, I'm not sure,
okay.
OMB to get the approval.
Oh, okay.
It takes a while for it to happen. So
yeah.
we know that the form needs to be updated, but, you know, all those who are on the call, if you pull a 1391 and see certification request, ignore that section of the form. We know that it's incorrect, it's obsolete.
Okay,
and
so
we
everything is considered,
yes.
considered so evidentiary payment request.
Evidentiary
okay.
means submitting documentation, yes.
Right, okay. All right, so I should send in the check stubs, too, along, even though the ticket holder has already reported mm-hmm. it directly to Social Security. I still should send
yeah.
in the check stubs. Okay.
Send them to us because Social Security may have entered them, but it is a requirement for our group now. This is one of additional responsibilities that our payments
okay.
team had is to enter those earnings, you know, information from any documentation to start that process of getting those
okay.
earnings verified.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. I understand why I was confused now. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Steve Gurky of SKG Career Services.
Hello. This is
Hi,
Steve. My question is regarding an expedited use of the 18-month look-back tool. Is there a way to get the DDO date without ordering a BPQI?
No, sir. That's the only way that you'd be able to get DDO. Is by getting that BPQI and like we said in the presentation, and getting the forms, and the beneficiary must sign off on the forms.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And once again, that is star one to ask a question. We'll take our next question from Molly Hall of Maryland Employment Network.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. I have a quick story, and maybe you can all help me with this. We have a client who continued to receive payments even though they shouldn't have. She saved the money, and when mm-hmm. she contacted Social Security to pay the money back, which ended up being a hefty sum, they, in turn, even though she had the money, they asked her if she would like smaller payments, and she said, yes, that would be great. Which I'm glad for her, but in that same moment now, we are not going to see payment for probably years. does anybody have any suggestion how I can avoid that in the future?
Wait. Are you saying that because she's receiving smaller Social Security payments, you're not going to get paid? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
So your programmatic payments to beneficiaries has nothing to do with ticket-to-work payments. Ticket-to-work payments are based on earnings that a beneficiary has, you know, not
based
on...
But when a client is an overpayment, we don't get paid, correct?
No, that is incorrect. The beneficiary payments, programmatic payments, are totally separate from ticket-to-work payments. They have nothing to do... One has nothing to do with the other.
Great. All right. Thank you. I always assumed it was when they were in overpayment, we were not permitted of.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
And
well,
if you have any, if you can get any earnings or pay stubs, or you haven't submitted payment requests for that beneficiary, do so.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take our next question from Lisa Marie of the Choice Group.
I was curious, if you're denied a number two because they're receiving federal cash benefits, can you claim that in the future because of an overpayment possibility? What if they're receiving payments, but really they should have stopped the payments? Do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Yes, I do. And it's kind of piggybacking off of the last caller. The Social Security, I'm calling them programmatic payments. Any benefit payment made to a beneficiary is a programmatic payment. Programmatic payments, overpayments to beneficiary, have no impact on you at all as an EN. If it was an O2, the denial is the beneficiary. What that means is the beneficiary probably has earnings at SGA and has not been placed in suspense by Social Security. Or non-pay pay status so that you would be eligible for outcome payment.
Right.
This is the reason why we tell or try to, educate ENs on submitting payment requests, even if they're going to be denied, with earnings evidence, because if the earnings are at SGA, we will key those earnings and start a work CDR. And starting a work CDR means that the field offices has to perform a review, continuing disability review, to verify those earnings. Once they verify the earnings and they're over SGA and other requirements are there, they're going to move that beneficiary from current pay to outcome to suspense or the outcome period. At that point, you will be eligible for all the outcome payments that you were denied for that code 02 if it was only because of the fact that the beneficiary was in current pay, the other requirement for SGA earnings was met. So it has nothing at all to do with the beneficiary overpayment at all or the programmatic payment at all.
Okay. All right. So basically, if you do get this denied for number two and you know they have their SGA earnings and you submit it but you're denied for number two, you just wait.
You just wait. If
okay,
you've given us those earnings, but we will key those earnings. We will start, it's pretty new to a lot of ENs that we're doing this, but these are what we consider priority earnings to be keyed. We want to move the, we're doing it for both the ENs and the beneficiaries. We want to stop the overpayment for the beneficiaries, and we want you to get paid your outcome claim.
Right.
So, if all of you ENs are on this call, if you have beneficiaries who have earnings at SGA, you're denied outcome claims due to that O2 code, send us your payment request and send us your earnings.
And then you're saying that you start a work CDR and the field office have to
– We start the process for a work CDR. We key the earnings into the system that the field offices actually use to start their work CDR investigations. But we start the process by keying those earnings in.
Okay. And then the field office will perform the CDR to verify the earnings.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then down the road, we'll get that back when the earnings are verified.
Right. And again, for some ENs out there who said, I used to get a lot of payments, then I stopped getting them, your SSNs may be on an e-pay file, but the beneficiary may be in current pay with SGA earnings, but they have not been moved to suspense. due to work or earnings. So, again, we need those. You won't know that because we don't send denials for our e-pay file. We only submit a denial determination back to you if you request a payment and we're not able to pay it.
And can I ask one more question about the CDRs?
Oh, sure.
Is it safe to think that if I assign someone's ticket in November, that 1 year later in November, they will come up for a CDR?
No. If you're under, you're protected under a ticket for medical CDRs, mm-hmm. the work CDRs are only triggered based on the earnings information.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so it's medical versus work CDRs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is Deborah again. There's something in the chat that someone asked, and there may be several Ians who had the same question. But they wanted to know why it takes a longer period. There's two questions I want to respond to. One is, why does it take longer to receive payment when ePay is running? And a lot of ENs don't understand this, so, you know, this is a good time for us to explain this. Our last ePay file had over 21,000 SSNs on it. We received that file the end of November. We completed it by January 31st. At the same time, ENs were submitting by way of the portal and manually payment requests. We tried to do it all. And the thing is, anytime an EN submits a payment request, we do have a goal to process. And when I say process, I'm going to define that in a second. But we have to process those claims within 30 days of receipt. So we're trying to work the ePay file because when ePay runs, everybody wants to know, where are my payments? So we're working that as quickly as we can, and we're definitely watching our queues to make sure that we don't pass that 30-day time frame. What I mean by process within 30 days is this. It means we touched that claim. We looked at it and said, oh, we can pay it, and we pay it. Or we say, no, we can't pay it. We need additional information. So our EN payment help desk will send an outreach message out to the EN to say, the evidence we have is not clear. It's not enough. You have another patient. We're asking for something else. Then it takes time for that to come back in. So, and sometimes there's a situation where EN may have an overpayment situation. They may have made a decision that they want the overpayment recoup from future payments. So we have to send that up to SSA for them to apply a credit against that overpayment before, you know, and to make sure that overpayment is actually paid off before we can pay some future payments on a particular SSN. So it's a number of steps, and it's a number of processes involved here. But the point is, we may slow down on processing time when we have an ePay file, but we never, never, never have a claim that we did not touch within a 30-day period. We have all kinds of systems running reports, metrics here. So normally, if it's just the queues and no e-pays, we can process a claim in SSA system for payment within a day or 2 days or 5 days. But then remember, it takes several days for that file to go and clear Treasury Department to place that money in your bank account. So we're a little bit slower doing e-pay, but let me say this, our priority, however, even when we have e-pay, is to process claims where we have earnings, and especially those, as I mentioned earlier, where their SGA earnings and the beneficiary is still in current pay. So that was one question. And then another question a person had is, why would it be possible to submit multiple claims in bulk through the portal? And the answer to that is no. And the reason for that is the portal has helped us out a lot in payments, and we're able to pay ENs a lot faster due to the functionality of the portal. And one thing with the portal, you have to submit a particular claim or a date in the portal, because what happens, the portal will create a claim in SSA systems automatically. In the past, it didn't do that. you would submit your payment request, you fax, we would have to upload those documents in some digital storage area, then we would have to download it and create a claim, all that before we even looked at it. But the portal will create that. Once you enter the information for a particular month and type of claim in the portal, it automatically, to me, it's like magic. It will move that claim into SSA's payment system, and it will sit there and wait. If you print off a cover sheet and have to submit earnings information, if you didn't get the message, earnings already proven, that means you need to submit, some earnings evidence, and you need to print off a cover sheet. But if earnings are already proven, that claim goes directly into Q Ready for us to work. So if you did it bulk, let me tell you right now, it would be much, much slower. We would have to create each claim individually, upload it, download it, and then place it somewhere in a queue to be worked, whereas the system, the portal, does that for us automatically. So that's why you have to submit each claim separately through the system. Looks like we're having some type of technical difficulties. I can't see chat.
Okay. While we're trying to work through our technical difficulties, Gina, do we have enough time maybe to take one more call through the phone queue?
Yes, we'll go to Aaron Schmoly of Goodwill Industries.
Okay. Hi again. Follow-up question. So I'm seeing a common theme here where I think a lot of people may be getting stuck in their current pay and they haven't made it into the outcome phase because there has to be a CDR. Correct?
Yes, a work CDR to verify those claims and say at the field, review that whole case. I'm just making it sound easy. I understand it's a lengthy process and they have to look at it. You have to notify the employer. I don't know the steps taken, but it does take a while for that to happen. Yeah.
So here's my follow-up question. If we've been relying, and we really have been relying on the ePay system, so we haven't necessarily been, let's use an example of someone who maybe we expected 6 months worth of payment and haven't received anything. Now that person may not have been saving their pay stubs. We haven't been asking for it. Mm-hmm. What is the procedure that we would use to be able to recoup the 6 months worth of, or we'd have to put in a manual, the 1391 form and do 6 months worth of, get 6 months worth of pay stubs, which they may not have. What would you recommend to get, what documentation would you recommend that we obtain that's easy without getting a reprint of every single month's or every biweekly paycheck?
Well, the thing is, we want those pay stubs. We want those pay stubs. We can't enter earnings into the system to stop those those beneficiary payments if we don't have earnings. So it may be work and getting that, but in the long run, you're going to get 6 months of outcome payments if during that period the beneficiary with that SGA was beyond his phase two milestones. So we need those earnings. That's number one.
It's a reprint. It has to be a reprint of the – let's say they did not save their original pay stubs that were sent to them, mailed to them, or that they picked up. So now we're in the situation of mm-hmm. asking them to go back to their employer and ask for a reprint of each pay stub over the last, say, 6 months.
Okay, I think I have it. So this might be – Yeah, so this might be a situation where ENs were relying on ePay to make the payments and not submitting the payment request. ePay was never just to replace that, but, we're trying to clarify that now. But another thing you can do is subscribe to the work number, and you can get those earnings.
I'm familiar with the work number, yes.
Yes, we get, oh, my gosh. I would prefer you get the pay stuff because the work number, believe me, they have it. If they have we get quite a few payment requests with the work number is the earnings documentation, and we can use that. So you know, you can go back to the beneficiary, they may not have it or whatever.
Yeah.
Try the work number.
Although that is a the work number gives you, it won't give you 6 months worth of individual reprints. It'll still give you a consolidated year-to-date earnings that you could extrapolate what they were making on a biweekly or monthly basis.
The work number will list it out by pay period, beginning and ending pay period.
Okay.
Pay date and the gross amount, and that's what we need.
That's what we need.
Because it will also have the beneficiary's name and the employer on it, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same information our field officers need when they perform a work CDR. They need those beginning and, well, they need the same information from a pay stub, and work number is actually providing that information.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to add, I know you mentioned about filling out the EM payment form, but just remember, if you're submitting your payment request through the portal, which is required, then you do not have to submit or complete the form. You would just submit your case through the portal and upload your evidence of earnings, be it the work number or payment request. But all payment requests should go through the portal unless, like I mentioned earlier, if there's a case where you cannot submit. But just wanted to kind of make sure we're all on the same page with you're only submitting manually if for some reason you aren't able to go through the portal, but the portal should be the first place that you submit your payment request.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to do this one last one from the chat. Angela asked this question. Employer provided an email with only the sum of the paycheck, no start or ending date, and no taxes taken out. This was denied. Can you explain? We would not, and SSA would not know what to enter for this into its earnings system. First, the fact that no taxes are taken out, that alerts us to the fact this might be a contractor or self-employment. And we don't accept payment requests for self-employment. They're only paid through e-pay. What you could do if you wanted, if you believe this person is definitely working for someone is a regular employee, is not self-employed or whatever, you can request an employer-prepared earnings statement, and you can also have the beneficiary contact the employer so that they could possibly obtain the beginning and ending dates. But there's no way that Social Security or anybody could figure out what this paycheck covers. Does it cover February, part of February, part of January? We have no idea. Did they work for 4 weeks? Does it cover 4 weeks? You know, so we will have to have that information. The same information you see on a regular pay stub is what SSA needs to perform their work verification process. Somebody asked, is Ticket to Work no longer using ePay? And the answer to that is yes. We will receive our ePay file from Social Security sometime this week and start processing. Once we take a we normally perform some type of review of the file and perform a sort to make sure that, you know, the different requirements that SSA has given us have been met. There are some ENs who are not eligible for ePay. We make sure those ENs are not listed. And then we get the file ready to assign to our staff. So it'll be this week sometime.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, again, I just want to thank everyone for taking the time to attend today's All EN Payments call. And please enjoy the rest of your day.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.